Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
.com app. Catch us on the go. Put it on your device. Whatever that is, a phone, a tablet, a turntable, a boombox, a Sega Genesis, a Laserdisc player, whatever you got out there. CD-ROM, I don't know, whatever you got. Just download something to get us on the go. Social media, all of it is at 929TheGame. You got Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the platforms available to you there. The best way to keep up with this particular show is through our personal Twitter handles. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. It's all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is producing the show tonight. Hanging out behind the boards, Jarvis in the house, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. We'll talk to our buddy Gabe Burns coming up at 8:20, get his thoughts about the Braves. 9:40, Dave Cohen tonight. We'll talk to him about Georgia State as they get ready to take on the Western Michigan Broncos up in Kalamazoo, Michigan. That game coming up tomorrow. Be right here on WAOK. So as we look ahead to the college slate coming up this weekend, I mean, obviously, you know, Georgia, Georgia Tech locally, not much competition. So Tech going to take on Citadel. And somebody texted me earlier about, remember that game against, you know, Citadel with Alabama and all that kind of stuff. Citadel stinks. They've already lost to Towson State and Elon. Okay. They've given up 63 points in their two games to Towson State and Elon. And I'm not telling you that Tech's got their offense figured out. I expect Tech to experiment a lot with their offense coming up this weekend. I think that this is an opportunity to try to do a lot of things. They're going to go to Temple the following week, then home with UNC, who we thought, okay, UNC, look out. Here they come. Bada beep, bada boop. Okay, 2-0. Look at this. They beat Miami. They beat South Carolina. Look out. And they're getting steamrolled by Wake Forest tonight, as that game's already in the third quarter, 21-0, Wake Forest over UNC. So maybe a little bit quick. Remember, that UNC's got a true freshman at quarterback, so you're going to have your ups and downs. But I don't expect Tech to have any problems with this game tomorrow. But I think it's a chance to get a lot of kids to play and start figuring out your quarterback position. You know, it's cute to play 2-3 guys at quarterback, but when you do that, that tells you they don't have a real quarterback. So you got to figure out who's going to shake out of all this grouping for it. You know, who's gonna shake out at the end of the day at quarterback? Well, this is the kind of game where you kind of put that tape on and you kind of start to look at, okay, who's kind of separating themselves? Is it Graham? Is it Lucas Johnson? Is it Tobias Oliver? You know, they all have different kind of skill sets. Graham, probably the best athlete at quarterback in that dual threat. Tobias Oliver runs it but not great at throwing. Lucas Johnson, more of a throwing quarterback. Can run it some, but I mean certainly a better arm than what Tobias Oliver brings to it. So, you know, how does that shake out? I don't think you can continue to go with a three-quarterback system, you know, as you move along in the season. You want to get settled with one guy, maybe have a package for, you know, maybe Graham's got a package or something like that that you mix him in or whatever like that. But, you know, by and large, getting that quarterback position settled out there. Tech's done a pretty good job of running the football this you know, so far this year. Good win last week against South Florida. Should have no trouble here. But then again, you know, you not Citadel, but then, you know, you get ready to go to Temple, back home with UNC. So a lot going on for Georgia Tech. Georgia, they've got Arkansas State. This isn't the Gus Malzahn-led Arkansas State. Remember, Gus Malzahn, before he came to Auburn, was the head coach at Arkansas State. So, you know, again, this will be one of those games where Georgia flexes its muscle. They lost to Sonny Dykes and LSU already this year. They gave up 37 to them. UNLV is a dreadful program, so I don't know what you take away from all of that out there. But, you know, Arkansas State's been a decent program. Georgia just too much and too much depth out there. I'm going to be curious to see about, you know, how Zeus continues to develop. How does Zamir White continue to get carries out of all of them? How do they keep using Cook? You know, they're throwing to him. They're lining him up here. He's kickoff returning. He's He's doing a lot of different roles. I really want to see him get more involved in the offense. I don't know what it is about Cook that I really like the kid. I really like what he can do. And obviously his brother was a tremendous player at Florida State. And, of course, you saw what he did against Falcons last week in Dalvin Cook. So, you know, I'm going to be curious to see. It's another one of those games where you'd like to see your wide receivers get some more big plays, throw it up to them. Let's see what we can do. Obviously, I don't think there'll be any look-ahead factor to Notre Dame, okay? I don't think Kirby Smart will let that happen, okay? And I don't think Arkansas State's a threat to come in and beat Georgia. A lot would have to go wrong for Georgia. I'm curious to see how many quarterbacks they get to play tomorrow in that game as well. Don't forget, that's a noon kickoff. Georgia Tech, by the way, is a 12:30 kickoff. So the two big teams in town are going to be playing early tomorrow. So Georgia will go in. It'll handle its business. Its offensive line is too big, too strong, too physical. They'll run the football early, but I'd like to see them open up the passing game a little bit. You know, one thing Notre Dame does well is that they have a pretty decent defensive line. I mean, they got run over by Louisville, but they are a pretty good defensive line. They're not the same offensive line that they've been. You can't lose McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson and these guys that you've lost over the last couple of years off your offensive line and think you're going to be as good as they were a couple of years ago. I think Georgia is going to handle their business rather easily when Notre Dame comes to town. I don't think that will be a panic moment game. But, again, start off this Saturday, get the action in, and I'm like I said, I'm curious to see how many quarterbacks play, how they use Cook, how they use Zeus, what wide receiver continues to step up itself on their offense as well. Now, Georgia State's an interesting one because, look, going up to Kalamazoo, Western Michigan, it's hard to get a read on them. They played Monmouth, who's not bad, but they steamrolled Monmouth. They were just overwhelmed by them. Michigan State, look, I'm not a big Michigan State believer. Lewerke's not a bad quarterback. They are a tremendous defensive line. I mean, they definitely have a top five defensive line. You talk about best defensive lines, you know, and you start throwing Alabama and you start throwing Utah, you know, into that mix and Clemson into that mix. You know, Michigan State's right up there with those teams. I mean, they're right up there with some of those top-tier teams. So hard to glean, but they have not run the football. And they are a team that 2017, I think, was 21st in the country in running the football. Last year, they were 33rd in the country in running the football. They want to run the football. And they've got a running back in Bellamy that ran for about 1,200 yards last year that really has not gotten off this year. He's under 100 yards in two games total. Now, Michigan State will do that to you. You know, Michigan State against Tulsa had a minus 73 yards rushing performance. They'll do that to you, okay? So that's nothing new. So expect that. I think Georgia State's in for a heavy dose of the football being run right at them. I think you're going to see a team that's going to line up and wants to run it right at them. I mean, just get that running game going. Get Bellamy off early. Bellamy had a big game last year against his team. He had 121 yards rushing the football. So this will not be easy. You know, stopping the run is going to be first and foremost the key. That to me is going to be the key. Key matchup is what run game can get it going. If Georgia State can keep their run game going and make hay in the run game, keep their offense off the field, and at the same time have some success at stopping the run. Not going to stop it every time, but you can't let them. They ran for almost 300 against Georgia State last year in this game. Can't let them get off. They go for 300. It won't be very pretty. Looking around some of the other action in college football, of course, Pittsburgh and Penn State, that's the good old Northern rivalry. I love that rivalry, by the way. Listen, I think that West Virginia, Penn State, Pittsburgh ought to play every year. They should round robin every year. That was growing up, that happened every year. That was a great rivalry. So I don't think, you know, again, Pitt, I don't think going to have a whole lot. Some of the games that I'm intrigued by tomorrow, and there's not a lot of great schedule tomorrow. Tennessee's got Chattanooga. You would think they're going to win. If they don't win, they'll have a new head coach come Monday. Now, take that back. They'll have a new head coach come Sunday. They lose to Chattanooga and they're 0-3. Jeremy Pruitt won't be the head coach. There are things that they can ride out with him. There are things that they can handle. They lose to Chattanooga, okay? They find a way to drop that game, who, by the way, is only 1-1. So Chattanooga lost to Jacksonville State last week. You know, they gave up 41 to Jacksonville State. You would think Tennessee would be able to handle it, but they lose, there'll be a new coach in Knoxville, Tennessee. Last year, this game was supposed to be really good, NC State, West Virginia, when you had two NFL quarterbacks. Remember, this was Ryan Finley against Will Greer last year. Not quite the same matchup this year out of it. Alabama at South Carolina as SEC play gets underway. I just don't see South Carolina having enough for, you know, I just don't. I know Helinski, and they liked what he did. Okay, they played nobody. Okay, this is a whole different level. Whole different level that's going to be out there. Alabama, anytime that they line up those four guys at wide receiver and spread you out, you've got no chance. Okay? Like, there's only one or two teams in America that have maybe any sort of chance, but they get you spread out with those four guys, it's game over. South Carolina doesn't have that. I'm going to be curious if maybe Alabama doesn't try to run the football a little bit more, try to see if they can get some success on the ground, but Alabama just too much, and I expect them to overwhelm at some point. And by the way, you know, there's no matchup of two ranked teams going in this week. Southern Cal, BYU. Of course, BYU coming off of beating Tennessee. Southern Cal's got to go to BYU. Now, Southern Cal in the top 25, they found a way to win. Wasn't pretty against Fresno. Certainly wasn't pretty against Stanford with two backup quarterbacks playing in that. Watch out. That could be an L. Going into BYU, that could be an L. Stanford, UCF, you know, I don't know what Stanford is at this point. First of all, why Stanford's going to Orlando to play that game, I have no idea. Okay? That to me is crazy as it is. So we'll see. I like Central Florida in that game. I don't trust Stanford. I haven't seen if Costello's going to be back or not yet, but I don't trust Stanford in that game. Fun game with the rematch of Arizona State going to Michigan State, by the way. This was our upset special, one of the early ones we had last year, and Randy McMichael and I hit this game that we said Michigan State would go out there and lose, and they did, the fight in Herm Edwards. Now Herm's got to come up there. Say what you will about Michigan State, their run defense is stout. They're going to see one of the best running backs in the country, Nino Benjamin. I mean, he's one of the best running backs. You don't know who he is for Arizona State. He's a load, and he's a really good player. But boy, nobody just runs the football against Michigan State. Nobody's been able to make hay against him. Benjamin with 171 yards on the year this year, and I want to say last year he had like 1600 yards or something. Yeah, 1642 yards and 16 touchdowns last year. Now, he's a load. He's a really good player. So not a lot of intriguing matchups across the country, but again, to me, college football is always great. There's always going to be something. And by the way, game day's in Ames, right, for Iowa State, right, the in-state rivalry. So we'll see how that all turns out. Gabe Burns, beat writer for the AJC, going to join us up next as we're watching Braves baseball up 2-0 already on Max Scherzer. Chuck Green, the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Gabe, Julio Teheran, do you think that Snitker trusts Julio Teheran to hand him the ball for a playoff start? Even considering how good he's been this year at times, boy, it just feels like that once every fifth start, it's like here comes the home run balls being launched again.
Yeah, it's a fair question. I think that last start in Philadelphia is obviously going to leave a bad taste in their mouths. He's got a few more starts to kind of, you know, stabilize, see what you have. But we look at last year, and again, we can't put too much on that because had they faced Colorado, he would have started. But last year, he was not in the rotation. And I understand he's had a much better year this year, but when you really look at it, he's probably going to be facing a pretty good Cardinals lineup. So you're looking at the home runs allowed. I think he's up to 20 now. Obviously, that's always kind of been his Achilles heel. So you're looking at it, you're going, well, what are our other options? Mike Foltynewicz has pitched a lot better since coming back from Triple-A Gwinnett. So you've got that as an option. But at the same time, I'm not sure that they feel totally comfortable there either. You won't necessarily need a fourth starter in the first round, which at this point might be for the best. So we'll kind of see how things unfold over these next 14 or so games. But as it looks right now, I mean, I agree. You look at what's up with Julio Teheran, and you're going, I'm not totally sure right now that you can trust this guy, throw him out there, and hope that he'll kind of keep the game within reach for six innings.
Gabe, I was kind of playing with my playoff roster the other night on air, and with the 25-man, and this is for the first series, like you talked about, for this five-game series, I only had the four starters, 10 total pitchers, 15 positional guys. And for me personally, I guess, and I know I'm probably wrong on this, but is Tyler Flowers supposed to be on the playoff roster?
He will be, barring injury. I think it is a good debate, though. Speaking of catcher, I mean, you look at this and you can say, are they going to carry three catchers? They did last year, but they did it with pinch hitting opportunities in mind. It's not like they really wanted Rene Rivera's presence on the roster. This year, Cervelli, he's been pretty good here. So there's definitely, you know, I've obviously outlined a lot of these different playoff roster scenarios. I actually published a story today kind of taking my first guess at it, and I only had them carrying two catchers. But I stress that there's definitely, especially now you've got Johan Camargo out injured. So maybe, you know, you need some more offense on the bench, and maybe you feel that Cervelli is, you know, he's going to give you more at the bat than, say, Echeverria would. So there's different ways that they can kind of play this. It depends on if they want to carry 12 pitchers. But there's definitely now Flowers and McCann will obviously be on the roster, but there's definitely a few scenarios where Cervelli sneaks on there as well.
Do you think Billy Hamilton has a spot on the roster, just if nothing else, to just at least give them a speed guy, even if you don't want him to hit, even if you don't want him out in the field, just to have a guy on the bench that can run around the bases and maybe score a game-winning run?
Absolutely, yes. I would actually be really surprised if he was not on the postseason roster. Again, you kind of look at last year, they wanted Lane Adams on the roster, and Billy Hamilton is a pretty significant upgrade over Lane Adams, regardless of what, you know, his limitations. So you're looking at a guy who plays good defense, who could be a late-game substitute. He could obviously a pinch runner. I mean, he can change the game. If you put him in to run for Brian McCann and he ends up stealing two bags, even steals one bag, and I mean, that's like you look at Dave Roberts during the Red Sox run in 2004. I mean, that steal is still talked about to this day. So, I mean, there could be a signature moment where Billy Hamilton swipes a bag and it leads to them winning a game, which leads to them winning a series. So, yeah, I mean, you have a player like that who has that type of skill. Obviously, he's as elite as it comes speed-wise. You definitely need that type of player on a roster for best out of five or best out of seven.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Trucker Show. We're live on the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our guy Gabe Burns, beat writer for the Braves for the AJC. Is going over a little Braves baseball. For a guy who, you know, we're talking about Julio Teheran and the home run bugaboo, but for a guy who hasn't really given up home runs this year, it's already five home runs in the month of September for Mike Soroka. Is it just, you know, I don't know. You tell me, Gabe, you're the expert here that covers the Braves. Why all of a sudden are balls flying out of the ballpark off Mike Soroka where they weren't earlier in the year?
You know, Mike's been pretty level-headed about it. He's basically said, you know, this happens. You're going to have stretches like this. I understand that sometimes, you know, you leave a pitch up or a guy gets a good swing on one. I mean, he doesn't seem to be panicking very much about it. So I don't think there's a reason to panic yet, but obviously his performance has dropped off a little bit, which is certainly a bad time for that to happen. So he's got a couple more starts here to maybe get straightened out, but they're going to need him to be at his best for them to even beat the Cardinals or, you know, the Cubs or whoever they end up facing in the first round. So, you know, obviously the home runs are a concern. Seeing a little dip in his performance is a concern. But at the same time, it's not something worth really sweating about until it gets drastically worse. He's still got the fewest home runs allowed of the league at 13. So we'll kind of give him time to get this sorted out. He doesn't seem to be super concerned. He doesn't seem to be to that point that he's really worried about it yet. So we'll kind of give him time and just see how that plays out over the next couple weeks.
What happens if maybe he does have another rough start tonight? Would it be worth maybe skipping a start for him? I mean, I'm not telling you shut him down. Obviously, we're trying to make sure he's ready to go for playoffs because I still think he should be your number one starter. But would it be worth it to maybe skip a start and just kind of just let him clear out some cobwebs or just kind of work on something, you know, for a week or so to just kind of fix whatever is going wrong?
So I think they're going to do that regardless. I mean, they brought up, obviously they brought up Bryce Wilson, Tukey Toussaint, Kyle Wright today. And Snit has stopped short of saying, you know, these guys are going to be making spot starts. He says not yet, because he doesn't want to speak in absolutes until the team has clinched the division. As soon as they do clinch, which right now looks like it'll be sometime middle of next homestand, then I'm sure that at that point they'll start kind of working in spot starts. And I think that either, you know, kind of spacing the starts out, or even skipping Soroka is definitely on the table. And I think even if Soroka comes out tonight and fires a complete game shutout, I'm pretty sure that's their plan regardless.
92.9 The Game, we're on the waitfor.com hotline. Our guy Gabe Burns joining us, Braves beat writer for the AJC. What are they going to do with Austin Riley? What are they? Is he guaranteed to start? And let's say if Acuna plays center, they want probably Markakis. I know Markakis starting left field like only the third time ever, whatever it was. But what's the plan for Austin Riley? Is he going to start in the outfield in the playoffs, or are they going to platoon and kind of rotate some guys with what Joyce has done? Look at matchups. I mean, what's the plan for him?
It's going to be matchups based, but obviously Joyce is going to be playing right. They love what he's brought. He's actually played really well. I think he started about 30 games now, and he's actually played pretty well. And then you've got Nick back now, and I mean, obviously you hope that he can kind of get back to his standard performance, and maybe that break did him some good for all we know. So, but Riley will factor in. But at the same time, you look at the postseason roster, you're kind of laying things out. He's not a lock to make the postseason roster.
Wow.
That's subjective.
Could you imagine could you imagine like 2-3 months ago saying that, Gabe? I mean, could you imagine him not potentially making the playoff roster with the start that he had?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. His regression was so swift, too. It didn't really unfold over the course of a year, over the course of 2 or 3 years. I mean, it went from top of the world to absolute rock bottom pretty quickly. So now you're looking at it and you're going, you know, he still made my postseason roster, just taking a look at things today, mainly because even in his struggles, he's the kind of guy who, if he comes up in a pinch hit situation, he can't hit you a home run. He can't rip you that big double that you need. Now, you can also argue for Adam Duvall over him. You could argue for there's a situation both make the roster. I didn't look at it that way just because I kind of felt their roles would be redundant. But there's definitely a place that maybe you could figure that out too. So ultimately, does he make the roster? I would say yes right now, but I do not feel confident in that at all. So these next couple of weeks could be pretty big for him as far as just getting him going and seeing if he can be an asset for this team, either, you know, with the occasional start or even just as a guy to come off the bench and maybe come through with that big hit that you need in the seventh inning of a 2-2 game at Busch Stadium.
Gabe, last thing for you, speaking of, having slumps and things, I mean, Dansby Swanson, since he's come back, I mean, obviously it's not been the offensive output that it was earlier in the year. Where does he fit in? I mean, at this point, Ozzie's locked in at number two. There's no moving him out of that spot. So where does he fit? I mean, because they're trying him everywhere. I mean, I think he was back at eighth, I think, the other night. I mean, just where is he going to kind of fit in this lineup? Is he just kind of stuck at the bottom of the lineup still, or can he work himself up a couple of spots and give him that punch that he was in the early part of the year?
Well, I mean, realistically speaking, I think you're going to see him stay somewhere at the bottom of the order. I mean, you're looking at this, Ozzie's definitely going to be hitting second. Freddie Donaldson, and now that Markakis is back, he's going to be taking fifth again. So, I mean, the highest that you could even slot Swanson would be sixth at this point anyway. So I definitely see him maybe settling in at seventh, just kind of depending on how his performance kind of turns around. I mean, he's put together some good at-bats lately. Obviously, he's still immensely valuable to this team from an intangible standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, from a base-running standpoint. I mean, he's still just a ton of value to this team. So now it does hurt that his bat is not where it was before. But, you know, again, these things kind of have a way of sorting themselves out. We'll kind of see how what unfolds over these next couple weeks. But at this point, it's kind of hard to imagine a scenario that he's not hitting seventh or eighth. This might end up being how they kind of tweak the lineup with matchups and maybe how he's performing at the time. Because if they could get him going like he was earlier this year, if they could get him going before October, that really changes the outlook of this offense completely.
Yeah, and it's, you know, just we talked about how long that lineup is, and then all of a sudden, sometimes, you know, reality catches up to you. Follow him on Twitter. He is at Gabe Burns AJC, covers the Braves for the Atlanta Journal Constitution, and joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. As always, Gabe, appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for jumping on, and we'll be talking to you here soon because guess what? It's going to be playoff baseball real quick.
Yeah, sure thing. The games are about to really count for real.
Yeah, exactly. It's the John Shuckry Show. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back in the Kia Studios. John Shuckry Show hanging out with you here till 11 o'clock. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Follow us on Twitter at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Braves up 3-0 on Max Scherzer. Freddie Freeman has been pulled in this game as a precautionary measure for some elbow soreness. So kind of dove around on the ground to make a ground ball, made a play. And as precautionary, they said they pulled him up from the game. Charlie Culberson in at first base now for the Braves. So I got news for you. Freddie Freeman's got a bad fingernail. You pull him very quickly. Hey, the Rockin' Jocks Liberty Bowling Tournament benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. That's going to be taking place at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. It's going to be Wednesday, September 25th, 4 to 7 p.m. Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom, Muhammad Masqua, Ronnie Brown, Jason Campbell, a whole host of stars will be there, including all the shows and the personalities there, all the duo shows and everything, and then me just by myself. So, yes, we'll all be there on that Wednesday. So come on, bowl. I think it's four-person teams. We got the email about it the other day. I think it's us plus four guys or us plus three guys. I forget whatever it is. So come on out. Be a part of it. Yeah, Jarvis, thanks. And they made a point to say that these are not individual teams for hosts, that they are the show teams. And it was like John and Hugh and Mike and Carl and Andy and Randy and Chuckery. Usually I'm the and others on the list of whatever. So speaking of and others, let me get to what's bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off.
I think it's our producer with what he's playing back there.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, so besides stuff just firing off back there, anyway, a couple things. One is, I saw where they're going to bring back NFL primetime on ESPN, which I'm telling you, is the best show in the history of ESPN. Yes. I know, and I was about to get to that. Boomer and Berman. Or I should say, Boomer and Tom Jackson. Chris Berman and Tom Jackson. Just those two guys. That's the best show ever on ESPN. Okay? Sundays, watching it, all the highlights. I loved it. I just give me those two guys. Don't need anybody else. I don't need anything. Just give me those two guys in the highlights, and I'm good. One problem. They're going to put it on ESPN Plus. So now you got to pay $4.99 a month on top of everything else to see Boomer and Tom Jackson go back and do NFL highlights. Okay. It's my favorite show of all time. I think it's the best show ESPN's ever done of all time. I love that show. Miss me with paying $4.99 to watch all that. Okay. Sorry. I got pizza to buy. Okay. I ain't got time for spending $4.99 on ESPN Plus. But yeah. So if you're going to. So you saw the announcement. Oh, yeah, cool. Nope, ESPN Plus. You know, that's that channel where Atlanta United, when they were playing those U.S. Open Cup games, you had to go on ESPN Plus just to watch all of it there. So, yeah, miss me with all that kind of stuff. So, fine. I'm going to bring it back. Great. If it's going to be on that, then God bless those two, and I wish them good luck in their old age because I won't be getting a chance to watch any of that. All right, what I really want to talk about. So USA Basketball Managing Director Jerry Colangelo said yesterday that this is after the U.S. lost to Serbia yesterday and will not be able to finish better than seventh in the World Cup basketball tournament. Now, first of all, did anybody know that there's a World Cup basketball tournament? I have no idea what the hell this is, okay? But
There were 35 players originally selected to play, or selected by the U.S. player pool. Only four of them are in China for this FIBA World Cup. Okay, they lost to France, lost to Serbia, lost again to Serbia. So they're going to finish no better than seventh. It'll be the worst finish by an American men's team in any tournament ever. The previous worst was sixth at the 2002 World Champions. Okay. Jerry Colangelo, the basketball director, managing basketball director for USA Basketball, said that when the time comes to start assembling the 2020 Tokyo Olympics roster, he won't forget those who backed out of commitments to play in the World Cup. I can only say you can't help but notice and remember who you thought you were going to war with and who didn't show up. I'm a firm believer that you deal with the cards you're dealt with. All we could have done and we did is get the commitments from a lot of players. So with that kind of hand, you feel reasonably confident you're going to be able to put a very good representative team out on the court. No one would have anticipated the pullouts that we had. So, and by the way, Steve Kerr is one of the assistant coaches on this team out there. Colangelo said, going forward with USA Basketball, we're going to need the cooperation of teams, agents, and there's been a communication with players one-on-one to solidify those commitments. I'm going to be anxious to see how many players reach out early to indicate that they wish and want and desire to play. But I'll make this statement. It's as much about maybe who we don't want as much as who we do want. Man, shut the hell up. Man, miss me with all that, okay? First off, you play the regular season for like 9 months, okay? Then drag out the playoffs for 17 more months. And then you got like 2.5 weeks off, and then you're back to camp. Like, if you want to tell me the NBA season is way too long, playoffs way too long, too much, I'm with you. The cachet isn't there anymore for USA Basketball, especially not for the FIBA World Cup where you got to go to China. Okay? I've said this for a decade plus now. Just put the college kids back in and roll the dice. Whatever happens, happens. Put the college kids back in, roll the dice. They win the gold medal, great. They don't, they don't. Okay? It's a different world. You know, again, you're not going to get Magic and Larry and all those guys to recreate anything ever again. That was a different time, a different reason, and it just everything was different about it. Put the amateurs back in. I mean, if they lose and they finish seventh, so be it. You roll the dice and say, okay, what do we got to do to get better? But because they panicked after, what was that, 88 in Barcelona, right? When that was it Barcelona? Was 88 Barcelona or was that Seoul, South Korea? I can't remember where it was. But that was, hey, this is what you get when you had guys like Bimbo Coles on that team, by the way. Okay? Stop with the NBA guys, okay? And I got news for you, Jerry. You want to isolate guys even more? Start coming down hard line about playing in the summer in their off time, okay? Go be a hard ass and then tell me how well that really works out for you, because everybody will tell you, go fly a kite at that point. Agents, you know, Mark Cuban already doesn't want his players playing in it. I don't blame him. I don't blame Mark Cuban one bit. Oh, we're going to get tough. You don't want to be here, don't be here. Okay, they're all going to tell you they don't want to be there. So then what are you going to do, Jerry? Go get the college kids. Stop trying to be better than and bigger than what it is. Go get the college kids. The college kids will do it because it is an honor. And this, for a lot of those kids, would be a tremendous honor. Okay? They won't look at it in the same jaded way that the NBA guys do. Why? Well, one is because the NBA guys got like 2 weeks off, and then it's time to go back to work. How about compress the season, compress the playoffs, give these guys some time off, then maybe they'll play. LeBron's played like a decade on top of his career just because of the playoffs. All right, when we get back, UGA has something really cool going on tomorrow, so make sure to wear your pink. I'm going to explain to you why next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.